Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good, Curtis. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. So I know we have a few things to talk about today, and before we get started, just tell me in general how you're doing, under this new normal, and then let's get into some of the things that are on your mind first, your agenda, and then we'll kind of review some things. And I know you wanted to discuss what goes inside the folders.
Oh yeah, so I received the folders and I kind of started looking at them, but I haven't prepared any real folders yet.
Okay, no worry.
I actually got one client now on a monthly schedule. So that's
Okay.
good. So they're on a, they agreed to a day of the month for our regular call time.
Okay.
And we plan to get the entire book on that type of schedule rather than doing the once a month, email blast and then trying to get them all assigned to a date and time.
Right.
So yeah, we're working diligently on that. And
What did you get from the client when he said, when you said, "Hey, look, we really need to get on a regular touch base call, and we're trying to do 12 contacts, 4 appointments, 2 being in person, and we want to make sure that we're implementing your financial plan and have an eye toward intergenerational planning." What was his response?
Yeah, well, the response was good. I mean, that particular client is used to having a monthly call with me,
Okay.
and they're used to having the email sent out, and then I give them a couple of times, and then they respond to them. But
Okay.
I think they like the idea that I'm scheduling a regular time just for them.
Right. Makes
You
them
know?
feel special.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Somebody just joined us.
Hello, it's Carl.
Hey, Carl, how you doing?
Doing well, how
Good.
about yourself?
I'm wonderful. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in. So that's good. What other updates would you like to provide, Larry, before we kind of get more deeply involved in your agenda?
Sure. What I want to update you on. Well, with this COVID-19, we're working virtually.
Okay, right.
So my staff, instead of coming in for like a block of 6 hours and working now, I'm more like handing out piecemeal assignments that I'm trying to, make sure those assignments have enough meat in them to give them a few hours, or at least sometime over the course of the week. And then so they're kind of clocking in and clocking out and going through that. Eventually, we want to be a little more consistent and give them a whole block of time again, but that's about where we're at right now.
Right, I fully understand. Okay.
Yep.
So, who is responsible for getting the folders put together?
Well,
Me?
it's me. It's me.
Okay.
Because the reason why is the folders are here.
Yeah.
And right now, the difficulty we're having is that the broker-dealer, we have to get them the right access to the data to the team
Right.
member. A couple of them are new, and so we're going through all that, Curtis, but being that all the files are here,
Right.
I needed to at least make a couple models so we can make sure we're doing it right before I turn that over to anybody, right?
Right. Okay. Well, we'll come back to that. I want to make sure that I cover your questions, and then we'll go into some of the contents and the types of folders that you're trying to create. Okay?
Okay.
Anything in particular by way of agenda that you want to make sure I cover today?
Well, I think one thing is we're behind in a lot of things. I mean, we watched the video. We went over, how the different VPs of their domains can on the team can describe what they do if we have to, you know, introduce the team to a COI.
Right.
And, you know, basically, as far as, like, segmenting clients, I mean, that's what the video always starts out with, that idea.
Right.
But as you know, right now there's nobody to hand any clients off to. So I'm stuck with them all for the moment.
Right. And I think what you do is learn from that. And as you begin to look more toward client acquisition, then you'll be able to resurface more questions about that particular issue. But it's not a real issue for you right now with 50 households.
No, not yet. It will be, I hope.
That's what we're hoping.
You know, I've got this one couple, Curtis, that I'm working on. They have a large net worth. She's an RN.
Okay.
And he still works. He's in his 70s. I'm just having a hard time. You know, we've already been working together for 3 years, him and me, and he's only got, of their $4 million liquid, I mean, he's got maybe $150,000 with me.
Right.
And the best is in bank accounts and stuff like that. So it's we got to talk about that one eventually somewhere down the line because, you know, I've done a lot of work to get them over. I've used a lot of the Supernova methods, but so far I haven't turned the corner with them where I know they're bringing over a bunch of assets, despite all those meetings. And the COVID-19 also kind of slowed it all down. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to think that this particular situation is creating a lot of, you know, unusual issues for everyone, clients included. So just continue to be diligent and patient. And it will come. People will remember, you know, who was supporting them and following up with them during all this chaos that's been before us. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think they definitely will. Let's see here. What else is happening? So. We had a bunch of small accounts we had open. A client did a gifting program.
Okay.
So we spent, like, the last 2 weeks, like, a good portion of our time just opening up those accounts, you know, because there were four different people, and they all had their – anyway, just following up on that stuff, Curtis. But what I'm saying is you know, it's hard to get the efficiency of servicing and match it up with the efficiency in your servicing in the Supernova program and match it up with the efficiency of using these systems, but we're getting there.
Yeah, and given that you are all working virtually too, it's not like you came in and Supernova was completely launched and then You had to just take a step back and work virtually. But, you know, I want each member of the team to chime in and provide feedback on how they can support you. You know, so, for example, if the folders are resting with you and, you know, and people have time, you know, there are certain elements of the folder that, you know, that go beyond the data that needs to be in there, that should be in there. So your folder categories, which we should talk about, and let's just go ahead and dig into that right now.
Okay.
Let's think about the folder categories. So I heard from Cindy that you're going to keep maintaining your current calendarization and schedule that you have with your current system. You're not going to change. That's fine. Okay? Stick with what works. That's the main thing. Now, so when you look at the folders, everyone, what do we have here? We've got clients. So So the client folder is a folder for the team, for you, Larry. So
yeah.
If I went into your office and you had 3 client calls, you had 2 prospect calls, and 1 call with a COI, there's going to be, 6 folders on your desk.
Uh-huh.
Or person that's responsible for your schedule and your calendar is going to have those on your desk either first thing in the morning or the night before, so that you can review the folders, get familiar with the calls you're going to have.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the client folder first. Okay.
I printed it out here.
Okay.
The client's critical contacts is the first page of it.
Yeah, and let's talk about what you want to put in there.
Okay.
If you know what should go in there, that's fine. This is going to be kind of a review. So the clients are getting a red folder,
uh-huh.
And the financial advisor is getting a blue folder.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Prospects are getting a yellow folder. Okay?
Yeah.
And your COI is getting a green folder.
Right.
And your COIs and special niche markets or mastermind group would get a green folder. So you'd be able to identify them very readily. So that's the first thing. Now, when you, on your calendar or your schedule, you can also color code whether or not it's going to be a client meeting, a prospect meeting, or a meeting with a center of influence, a meeting or a
okay.
call. I'm using those one and the same.
Uh-huh.
So now, nobody that you are speaking with falls through the cracks, because they're going to appear on your schedule, and you know when each call is going to take place for them.
Okay.
Anybody that becomes a prospect gets a folder, and they go into your contact system, and they get placed on the calendar, on the schedule for a call.
Yeah.
So how you operate your schedule, your calendar, and your notes, we're flexible on that. We just want to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks. That's the whole objective of the folder system.
Yep. Yeah, and we do gather a lot of information and put it in the notes, but this folder system just makes it readily accessible where the notes are, it's buried.
Exactly. That's really the point. I want you to be able to just, in 5 minutes, pull up, you recall the executive summaries go into the folder.
Mm-hmm.
And the executive summaries, to remind you, are a summary of the call, the agenda that you discussed, and the next steps. Very brief, goes out in an email, client gets the email, copy goes into your folder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the first page of the folder, we'll talk about your financial advisor folder, client.
Is
critical contact information, enthusiastically endorsed providers.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be on the first page.
I see that. It's on second page is the enthusiastically endorsed providers, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Performance review or other benchmark and planning documents.
Okay. Team, are you able to see this? I don't think they can see what I'm looking at, Curtis.
Okay.
But basically, it's something we print out and put in the files. Is everybody there, by the way? Brianna, Carl, Nima?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Everyone.
Okay. So everybody's here. So the question is, how do I, Curtis, can we show them that? Because they're going to, especially, you know, the VP of, I think VP of service, right, is going to focus on the folders, or which VP looks at the folders the most?
Now, does everybody have the PDF Supernova?
The guide?
Yeah, the guide.
Yeah, we have
the guide.
Now, I think if you turn to take a look at chapter 14, it may be in chapter 14 of your guide, where it says client folder system. Take a look at that. I know we printed a new guide, and I think they may have sent you the new one. But I put mine in I think that guide might be...
Chapter 14 shows scripts for me.
Yeah.
What is chapter 14 showing for you?
Script.
Let's see.
Oh, page 107. Okay.
Okay, so.
On page 107.
Okay, yeah, I see 107.
That, okay.
Okay. Now, yeah. Actually, do you have the new guidebook or the previous one? Because one of them has the folder system being on page 112.
We have 215.17 is our version, Curtis.
Okay, 215.17.
Yeah, okay.
215.17,
I guess, is how
okay.
Where that
would be. So look at the section for folder system at any rate. That's the thing that really matters.
Chapter 14, yeah, it's on page 107.
Okay. So as you go through that, you'll notice that it lists the – I don't want you to get too confused on the – there's the financial advisor folder, and then there's the client folder. Okay?
Yep.
So I want to talk about the folder for clients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in that is have critical client information, enthusiastically endorsed providers. Now, one of the topics that we talk about in Supernova is we'll say, who's your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse him or her?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who prepares your legal documents and trust? Can you enthusiastically endorse them? Okay, so what you want to determine there is if these are folks that can be referred to you. So ultimately, if it's somebody that they can enthusiastically endorse, you might begin to start to find out that your clients are giving you names of people that they strongly endorse, and you can pick up the phone and say, look, John, I'm a financial advisor. I work with, you know, Mary and Jane Smith. They suggested that I give you a call. They have enthusiastically endorsed you, and I have many clients in need of someone like you, and I'd like to find out if we could meet. I'd like to understand a little more about your business and how you work, and I'd like to share with you how I work.
Yeah.
Now, that becomes the planting of seed for a relationship that can maybe foster additional clients.
Yeah.
Okay? On both sides. Yeah. So that's, you want that checklist in there. this.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have the performance review or other benchmark planning documents. And then you're going to have a section of information about the topic of the month. Okay? That's your agenda. Now, in this kind of environment, the topic of the month starts to get disjointed because, you know, there's a kind of a crisis situation where people are saying, look, I really need to check on my liquidity. I need to really understand how much risk I'm taking right now in my portfolio. Or it dawned on me that, you know, I really need to have long-term care in the event that, you know, I get an illness. Those are the things on people's minds.
Yeah.
So you're going to have your topic of the month, which is designed to educate.
Yep.
Okay.
You know what the topic of the month this month has been?
What's that?
Covered calls.
Okay. So hedging against the downside risk that's inherent in the market.
Somewhat, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been what I've talked to a lot of people about this month.
Okay. So. Okay. Risk minimization strategies.
Yeah, I just call it cash flow enhancement strategies because covered calls enhance your cash flow. So that's what I'm calling it. Even though it is considered covered calls less risky than buying the position without the covered call, right?
Right.
So but I still call it cash flow enhancement, and that's what I've been calling it.
That's good. That's good. No worries there. Okay. Then on the next page, and I don't necessarily care how you tab these things out, but, you know, introductions given or received. Now, when the client turns that page, we want them to say, oh, my goodness, I haven't even bothered to think of any introductions for Larry, who's done things for us.
Yep.
And then the cash flow analysis.
Yes, let's see. Cash flow, there you are. Mm-hmm.
Then the agenda for the next meeting. And then the last page is blank line paper for taking notes.
Okay.
That's your client folder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you might have a one page in there that has a photograph of your team standing in front of your building or beside the ocean or
but
a nice picture that explains the backgrounds of your team members and what they do to add value.
Beautiful.
So now the client says, I'm not just working with Larry, I'm working with a team.
Yep.
Okay.
Anybody out there camera shy? Probably have to take a team photo at some point. So,
all right. Do that with a smartphone.
And yeah, we will.
Yeah, okay.
Or maybe we just get individual photos from each. Everybody takes their own photo that they like. And then, you know, with criteria, and then we put that into some kind of, we can put that along with the descriptions in there, Curtis, for now, because we can't get together, really.
Yeah, I understand. You got to stand 6 feet apart.
In the photo, yeah, that would look funny. But the thing is, we can't even get together.
Yeah, I know.
To get to work, you know, we're restricting ourselves from that because we're trying to stay in compliance.
Yeah, and that's smart.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, once you are done with that folder, so on Wednesday, the calls to the clients, you pull the folders, you know who you're going to speak with, you know the prospects that you're going to talk with, You know the COIs that you want to have a conversation with.
I love it. Sure would make my job easy if it really shows up just like you said, where the folders just show up on my desk, and the what was that, the other topic, the inverse pyramid happens.
Yeah, and Carl, guess what?
Yes.
Who's responsible for making sure that that happens?
That's my job. Nothing falls through the cracks.
Absolutely. So your job is to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks, that clients get reminders of their upcoming call. You know, I get a reminder from my doctor when I've got a meeting. Generally, it's 2 days or 3 days prior to the meeting, I get a reminder that, hey, look, you got a meeting coming up. And most of the time, I hadn't really thought about it, but, you know, I might have some questions I want to ask or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very, very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, right now I give a reminder out about our meeting. Usually it's, you know, the average is about maybe 6 hours prior to the meeting, because sometimes it's the day before, sometimes it's the morning of.
Okay.
With this new system, we'll give them a little more leeway, like a day or two, right, Curtis? So
exactly. I would say a minimum of 2 days, if not three.
Got it.
Okay. Remind them of the meeting, remind them of the agenda. That should go out. We always discuss your agenda first, Mrs. Jones, but these are a couple of the topics we'd like to discuss today, so they don't blow you off. So the reason they can blow you off is they don't think that there's any relevance to the call. They don't know what it's really about, and so they say, hey, Larry doesn't have anything really important. But when that agenda is, we've got to discuss tax minimization strategies or mandatory retirement distribution, oh, I better be on that call.
That's what that cash flow enhancement. Something about that's a buzzword that lets me, get in and talk to busy people right now. So,
okay.
Nice.
Now, prospects, and we're going to get more into that when we get into client acquisition, but for prospects, and let's say post-COVID-19, because we can't do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, these are personal introductions that people have made. They now get a folder. You're going to treat them as if they were a client. You're going to put them on a regular call schedule with topics that they're interested in. They're going to get an email reminder. They're going to get an executive summary after each call. Because what we want them to say is, I'm not getting this from the people I'm currently working with.
Right.
So we want your concierge model to be the differentiator. So you want to have information about the prospect, their business, their contact information, planning, agenda for the calls, pre-scheduling time you're going to get back to them, some blank line paper for notes.
Yeah. Curtis, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Team members, when they do they ever have the opportunity to talk to clients and fill these things in, or is that always going to be me? And if it is me, it makes sense because, you know, I could get them to elaborate on some of these things while they're talking about them. But what's normal in the Supernova, dude?
Right now, it's the person who is the key relationship manager on the team. As you get to 85 key relationships, and now you start to add others, then you might reassign responsibilities to another person who's kind of graduated to that financial advisor status.
Got it, got it. So, yeah, I get it now. So it'll eventually be others doing this. And really, that's going to be a great training ground for somebody who is getting licensed, too, to go through those questions.
Oh, yeah. So they're with you. They may be listening on some calls. That's a great way to get them up to speed. And, you know, do this sparingly. With your permission, Mr. Jones, I'd like to have one of my team members on the call with us. They're not going to say anything. They're just going to listen, you know, in the event that I'm away from my desk and some call comes in, they're going to be aware of who you are and be at your disposal. Okay?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Mr. Jones? Oh, that sounds great. Good. Okay. Now that person is getting, in a course of a year, multiply 10 calls and reviews times just 20. That's 200 comprehensive learning that a person is getting.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Oh, yeah. Well, one person on my team's got a lot of those already because he was here for 9 months while I was talking to clients. So
exactly.
He's heard a lot of that, but not, you know, now that we're taking it to another level, it'll be even better.
Okay. The prospect folders. They all get scheduled. Before that folder goes back into the file, it's on the calendar. You know the timing of the next call. It's been scheduled. An executive summary goes out to that prospect saying, hey, this is what we talked about, and these were the next steps. You agreed that I could do a brief analysis of your insurance policies.
Yep, yep.
Okay. Yep. Centers of influence. These are people who know a lot of people, and they don't mind referring you to others.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to know about that center of influence. You want to know about his or her business. It's a little bit different than a client that can refer you to somebody, but these are folks that are willing to make personal introductions as well, and they know the type of client that you are looking to work with, and they're willing to help you.
Yeah, like my mortgage broker's kind of like that.
Now,
I could turn more people into those type of.
Yeah, I want you to have six.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to have six centers of influence.
Six centers of influence, okay.
And, you know, maybe you start off and you only have two, you grow it to three, but I want you to have six.
All right. And so, Curtis, it seems like sometimes I misidentify centers of influence.
Okay.
Thinking that they are better than they are. So I'm gonna have to get a little bit better at that. So
yeah, and now you're going to get them on a schedule and a frequency of contact. It's not a person that you are going to talk to every 3 months.
Right. They're on a monthly.
Okay. They're going to be on a monthly calendar. They will have met your team. You will have introduced your team. They will understand your service model. They will understand the level of client that you want to work with.
Yeah.
So you talk to them about your client segment that you are interested in working with.
So I'm going to interview probably put through that process probably 20 or 30 people before I find those six
okay.
that are perfect, right? So, yeah.
So here's like the president of the local chamber that's having the Saturday morning breakfast where 30 people show up every Saturday, but the membership might be 100, and he's got intimate knowledge of these folks.
Yeah.
He can make personal introductions. That's the center of influence.
Yes.
The CPA that's got a roster of 150 clients. Mm-hmm. You may have two CPAs. The estate planning attorney. Now, I will tell you, there's a lawyer down in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
probate attorney.
Yep.
And he probated my mother's estate.
Okay.
A realtor referred me to him, who I went to high school with, who I knew.
Okay.
And I referred him to my mother-in-law, and then she referred him to another friend that just lost her mother. And, you know, so he got three decent-sized estates to work on and a matter of 6 months. Now, those are just the ones I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's getting referrals. He's probably getting, on average, 5-6 a month.
The financial advisor is?
No, the probate attorney.
The probate attorney. And say how he's getting the referrals again?
He's got a connection with several realtors.
Oh, the realtors, okay.
Yeah, and got estates to be probated. So
referrals
coming through. So get yourself a good probate attorney in there.
I got to find one. You know, the one I got in my B&I group is basically been... He's a black hole. I sent him a bunch of referrals and nothing comes back.
Okay, and I think you have to talk to him. Say, look, I'd like to have a close relationship with you, and you know, I'm wondering if we can work for the mutual support of each other, meaning I send you some referrals and you send me some.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? See, most of them have to be educated on the process of how to do it, how to refer back. And that gets into that referral script I gave you. Learn that by heart.
I will, Curtis. And I'm gonna use it on more than just him because I just don't know where he's at. So.
Yeah, and teach people, coach them on how to refer. Let them have copies of your team brochure. That looks really
sure.
Yeah, your team brochure with the photo of your team. It's not built yet.
Okay.
All right. So that's centers of influence. So create a script you can use when recommending him or her.
Okay.
Have a page for introductions given or received. Have your agendas. So, you know, for CPA, one agenda might be, you know, a discussion about SBA 7A, how small business clients can get loans.
Yeah. Working on one myself.
Okay, there you go. So, you know, I went through the internet and I pulled down 9 pages of notes.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out.
I cut and pasted. just to get myself a little bit up to speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's center of influence. Blake line paper for notes. Yellow folder. I would say the yellow one or the green one, I forget. Center of influence, they're the green ones.
Okay.
And then your niche markets. This might be the big kahunas you're working on. It could be working on some small nonprofits.
Boeing.
Okay, there you go. Get a folder for Boeing. Everything you need to know about Boeing. Research reports, how the company's doing. Get yourself up to expert status on all things Boeing.
I will. I joined all their social media, everything I could join this weekend.
Great. And create a script you can use, and agendas, and blank line paper for notes. All right. Now, we haven't gone through the mastermind group in any kind of real detail yet. We discussed a lot of that in client acquisition, community networking, and social networking. So we'll stop right there. You don't need to kind of jump forward into that unless you have some questions that you'd like me to entertain. But this will give you a good start.
So, you know, I've been talking to my two Boeing clients.
Okay.
And you know, they both obviously know a lot of people at Boeing. One's retired, and he still keeps in touch with people, including a guy that's sort of I guess he's right under the C-suite execs at Boeing. He is like a local C-suite exec there.
Okay.
And in Arizona. And so, but, yeah, and that guy's about to retire, John.
Okay.
And, you know, my client, because he worked for him, I don't know if he feels like he can influence him or what, but we're trying. Now, he referred me another guy who's at the local Boeing in Lancaster. There's a small Boeing plant right here in Northridge. There's
okay.
all these things. So with my clients, I want to have a good way to say, hey, I'm trying to build this niche in Boeing. You know, Curtis, get some suggestions on how I talk to them about that.
Okay. That question that you just asked me,
yeah.
That's the exact question that you should be asking the center of influence. Look, Jack, I like working with Boeing clients. I need your advice for a moment. How would you suggest I go about creating a niche and an expertise of Boeing, current Boeing employees or retirees?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the question you should be asking him. He says, well, look, I know the director of HR, and I'm happy to make that introduction. And he may say, well, look, let me call around and let me sift through a few things for you. Let's get back to each other on Wednesday of next week and discuss it further.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to get the intelligence of how to go about it from the source, not really from me.
You're right, and it's the ultimate drip system is really what does it. I get it, Curtis.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So now let's go through how do you close the loop, folks. Look, I knew a person. His name was Augie Sinemy, and he was in Cincinnati and became a multi-million-dollar producer in Cincinnati and had Procter & Gamble as his big client. Any and all things Procter & Gamble, he knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And his team specialized in that as a niche market.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to see how he started, where he went, how he did that. So, but yeah.
You know, it was almost just like what you're doing. You know, he would say, look, how do I go about doing it? Next thing you know, he was helping people with stock financing, stock option, Rule 144 sales,
portfolio
management, you know, all things relating to Procter & Gamble. And he knew about the company.
Yeah.
He knew their earnings. He knew their acquisition strategy. He knew all things Procter & Gamble.
That's where I got to get with Boeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So 5 days before a meeting, the administrators should send a reminder with the agenda for the meeting.
5 days?
Five days. I'm saying, you know, at least three, okay? Once you've completed a meeting, write a summary of the important decisions, portfolio changes, asset allocation adjustments, and any recommendations that would benefit the client. Email it to them to close the loop. That's the executive summary. It's going to impress the client. It's going to avoid any misunderstandings. It's going to keep your entire team informed. And you can archive the emails in a computer file or print a copy for the client folder.
Mm-hmm.
Very few FAs do this. So it's going to separate you from the competition and help establish your brand. And,
I'm going to work on the brochure this week.
Okay. You got to have tools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I need a picture that you guys could take on your phone, each team member, that I could put in that brochure.
Yeah, which
along,
might
along with
just
the bio.
line them up and make them chest up to the head shots.
Yeah.
Little bios underneath, and just have them like that. You know, one day when you're together, you can have one team picture, you know, all dressed up in suits and, you know, standing by a building or what have you.
Or the ocean. But I got to get it. Once I get it, I still have to put it through compliance approval. And with our broker dealer, I could take – how long will it take, Nima?
It'll take weeks.
Yeah. So –
well, Make it light, make it easy. You know?
Yeah, I will. But I'm just saying, if I put their bio and their background on it, that's words. All of a sudden, that creates a whole, you know, now compliance has to read through it.
Right.
so
my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're going to take your qualified prospects. You're going to build your pipeline. They're going to go on your schedule. Your center of influence and the enthusiastically endorsed model. People who like you, who are willing, that trust you, that give you introductions almost without you asking. So those are the COIs.
All right. So how do you want us to, when we get week six, Curtis, what do you want us to have done by the time we talk to you next week? I'm going to work on the brochure.
Sure. So in week number six, build the rest of your client, start building those client mini-me folders.
Yep.
Get your 20% of your clients scheduled. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
100%. I'm gonna get 10% minimum. So yeah, I like 20% of the goal.
Okay. And then we're not gonna have to deal with segmentation, but make sure that all your clients now know your service model.
Yeah, okay. I was practicing the script. Got it. Yeah.
Okay. And you know, be able to share with me what your 12 to 18 month agenda of topics is going to look like.
Yeah, that's a sticky one for me. So I'll look at that. Okay.
Okay, I want you to be able to have, I want them to see you as the knowledgeable advisor that you are. And if you have any trouble, remember I've given you like four. You got to have a, in January, you got to have, you know, what's the state of the markets, where are we headed? You got to have the mid-year, this is where we are. We think we're getting through COVID-19. It's going to be slow going here for a while, but we think that the real economic recovery isn't going to take place from a year from now. Markets are leading indicators, not lagging indicators. So explain all that.
Yep.
Here goes some topics. Now, this call is being recorded, but you can, you know, revisit the Am I on Track conversation. You can help their clients. You can help adjust their budget if necessary. These are COVID-19 pandemic topics. You can make 2020 Roth conversions while the markets are low. You know, you can create a game plan for what happens if the emergency reserve runs dry. You can consider reducing and or temporarily eliminating payments that don't have to be made. You can put refunded 529 plan funds back into the 529 plan via a rollover. You can use a qualified health savings account, funding distribution. You can help business owners reduce or pause employer contributions to retirement plans until they get their stimulus money. You can fix a previously unfixable asset location problem. You know, assets being here, being there, titled in all kinds of screwed up ways, right? You can revisit clients' health care proxies, living wills, and other advanced directives.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things to talk about. Don't try to talk about them all in one session.
Okay. I'll put together a list based on the topics that I already use and the ones you suggested and whatever else, okay?
Okay. All right. That kind of concludes our conversation for today. Does anyone, you guys were probably prepared for me to call you on the spot to do a role play, but I didn't do it today. But always be ready. You never know.
They were ready because I prepared. I talked to them this morning about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. We had a Zoom call beforehand.
See, I want to get them at least expecting it, so that they're always.
Yeah, I figured that anything I can do that demonstrates or proves to us or as a team that we are moving further along is good,
right.
So that's why I have a Zoom call at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And before these meetings to just review what we're supposed to know going into the meeting.
Okay.
And, you know, that was it. So,
well, let me call on and just ask if anybody's got anything that they want to add or say or have questions about. So let's just go around the phone here. Nima?
No, I don't have any questions, Dad, honestly.
Okay. Give me some feedback. How's it coming?
Good. We're mostly working from home, so it's just splitting up the tasks most days instead of the few days I used to come in and I was studying for the exams. Now it's just like a task day by day and just do whatever has to be done.
Okay.
That's okay.
And let's see. Brianna.
Yes.
Questions? You receiving everything? How are you feeling about things?
I'm doing good. I don't have any questions either.
Okay.
Just, yeah.
Carl, how about you?
Yeah, no questions here either. I've been looking at the checklist and stuff like that, and because of the working situation, I haven't actually even been able to get started on some of that, whether that's access that I'm still waiting on the broker-dealer from or folder stuff that I don't have physical access to. So I think,
okay. Given that we've got the new normal going on, everyone, bring your creativity to the forefront. Think about how you can add some value. Don't let Larry come up with all the solutions. You come up with some on your own as well. Bounce them off him. Okay? Hey, Larry, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What if we tried this? You know, you guys are all kind of this relatively young group. You're tech savvy. You understand social media. So think about how you can add some value there, okay? All right. Larry, kept you longer than you probably wanted me to, but I hope this was valuable today.
Very valuable, Curtis. And anytime you go over time, I'm just getting more information, so I'm happy about it.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of the week, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, team. Take care. Talk to you later.
Wait, Larry, are you going to call me right now?
Yes, I'm going to call you right back.
Okay, cool.